Daniel chapter number 1. For sake of reading, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. I want to preach just for a little bit about Daniel, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, part of their young life. And I want to preach about this thought. How will you be found when you stand? How will you be found when you stand? See, they stood before the king, and they had taken a stand to not defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat. And the king found them 10 times better in wisdom. They were fatter and fairer in flesh than all of the others. You remember the story, this chapter 1, it is amazing that they were taken away from everything they knew, taken away from their homeland, taken away from their parents. You know, young people, it takes real courage to stand when mom and dad's not around. They call that character. Real character is what you do when nobody's around. What you do when nobody's looking, nobody's making you do what you should do. That's character, the kind of character that we have. And by the way, these four had great character. Daniel possessed character of leadership among the four. The others, no doubt they had characteristic of leadership, but they followed Daniel. And they didn't mind following Daniel. They knew that he had something special about him. Whatever that it was, God knows when he had looked upon Daniel. I know Daniel was the one that spoke up. Daniel was the one that asked if they could not defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat.
When you first find them after they've been brought by this siege, Babylonian siege of Jerusalem, and they've been taken into captivity. Listen, a lot of people would throw their hands up right then. Oh God, my life is over. Everything that I have is gone, life is going to be hard, and we are taken into captivity. But they didn't do that. I tell you what they did. They kept their focus on their relationship with the Heavenly Father. Daniel, if you find him, he's always found praying to God. He never gives up in his talk with the Heavenly Father. He's always in communion with God. That makes a great leader, by the way. Somebody that kneels before the Father will be able to make a stand before the world. We must kneel before our Heavenly Father if we're going to have the strength to stand before the world. They had been found, listen, just as children. Listen now, the king in verse number 3, he had them to bring the certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the prince's children, listen now, in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Listen, these children were not children who were always just at play. You know, no worries, no response. They had taken time in their young lives to learn some things that they needed to learn to be the spiritual, educated, sharp men that they were going to grow up to be. It starts when you're young. Parents, listen, we need to put our children to training. Training in wisdom and knowledge. They understanding science. I mean, knowing, listen, how to let the world know about the creation and the God that created it. Had ability. These children, they had ability to stand. They had in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I mean, their minds, listen, had been open to more than just dumb foolery. Amen. I mean, most children today, listen, it seems as though they don't want to learn hardly much of anything. Learning, listen, may be a little painful sometimes, but it's necessary. It's necessary. They were going to take and use this. Listen, God has a way of giving us wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God wants you to ask for wisdom. God wants you to look to him for wisdom. The wisdom of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible said. They were brought. They were brought, and the king had appointed them his meat, his wine. He wanted to transform them and change their names. Amen. The preacher preached about that in the youth meeting, how that the world wants to change our young people. Want to change you inside and out. They want to change your taste buds. They want to change what you like to put into yourself. Amen? And that's what they were to do. Listen, these were young Hebrew boys. They had a certain diet. They had certain taste. Now they're going to be eating things that they were forbidden in their land to eat. They had no taste for it. The king wanted to transform them from God-fearing Jews to worldly Babylonians.
changed their names and all such. And but Daniel, listen, he showed self-denial. Listen, one of the things that you have to learn in the Christian life, or standing for the Lord, standing against Satan and standing against the world, you've got to deny self. I mean, maybe some of that stuff looked pretty good. I mean, when they brought it in there, no doubt that wine, I mean, no doubt some of it was some of the best. I mean, this was the king's. It wasn't junk. It was the best. But Daniel, in verse 8, purposed in his heart. He denied himself that he would not defile himself. Self-denial. I will not defile myself with the world. I will not eat what the king wants us to eat. I will not drink what the king wants us to drink. I will not do what the rest of the world wants me to do. Self-denial. Listen, anytime you find yourself, listen, child of God, anytime you find yourself petting the flesh or trying to uplift the flesh, beautify the flesh more times than not. I'm not saying don't be clean. You ought to be clean. Amen. You ought to be clean. You ought to look nice. Amen. Christians, they ought to be clean. They ought to look nice. Amen. I'm not talking about taking care of yourself, but I'm talking about really adorning ourselves. I mean, listen, they want our girls to put on everything as short and as tight as they can possibly find. Amen. And they want them to paint their faces as thick and as dark as they possibly can. And our young boys, they want them to show off their bodies as much as they can. And that's not enough. Now they want them to change completely. That's the world. Listen, that's Satan trying to change our society, trying to change people. You've got to deny self. Got to deny self. Listen, the world is, and even in Christianity, so-called Christianity, people are following after. I heard my granddaddy say something years ago. He said, you let one church do something, and just about all of them will fall in line doing the same exact thing. And today, how many of them, I mean, years ago, started out, if a man come on stage and professed to be a preacher and had a different Bible and had a t-shirt and just blue jeans on, everybody thought, how worldly. And now that's the gig. Amen. I mean, that's what's popular. That's what's popular, and the music, and sounding like the world, and they've got a good argument. I mean, the Satan, listen, he's good at arguing his stand. Are you listening to me? But it all feeds the flesh. It all feeds the flesh. Listen, Bible preaching ain't going to feed your flesh. Your flesh does not want. I mean, the carnal mind is at enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. But yet they're trying somehow to make that which is carnal be godly. And you can't do it. You can't do it. But Daniel purposed. I mean, you have to purpose if you're going to stand. Regardless of how many others change, I'm purposing that I am not going to change. To purpose in your heart is to take an adamant stand. To say, Lord, if it's just me and you, then that's fine. To purpose in your heart. Daniel purposed in his heart is what this Bible said. Now, I believe after Daniel purposed in his heart, what a great example he was to the other three. Then they purposed in their heart. Amen.
He had temperance about him. He purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine. He didn't say, not the meat, maybe a little wine. He had temperance. I mean, he went all the way across the board. He is perfectly balanced and tempered. I'm not going to do, I don't want to defile myself with anything that Babylon has to offer. The wine that they drank, wherefore he requested. Think of the sharpness of this young man. Not to throw a fit, are you listening to me? But to show some ounce of respect and to make a request. To make a request that if these men would just allow him to not defile himself, and he's willing to put his stand on trial. Not just to say it and not prove it. I mean, that's what they were wanting them to eat for. Why is it you want me to eat the king's meat and the king's wine? You want us to look better. Well, let me do this the way God wants us to do it. And in 10 days, see who looks better. And then, listen, if they hadn't looked better, they would have had to give in and eat the king's meat and drank the king's wine. But he had temperance, abstinence. Listen, children, if you're going to stand, there's a certain thing called abstinence. When everybody else is partaking, you abstain. Yeah. Amen. You abstain. Well, a lot of young people, here's what they do. They still want to go to the party. I'll go to the party, but I won't drink. Listen, when everybody else goes to the party, you don't need to go to the party. You need to abstain all the way. All the way. Amen. You don't need to be a part of it. If you're going to stand, make a stand, stand for the Lord, keep yourself clean, live for God, you've got to have some abstinence about you. Our young people today, listen, they're giving over their purity very easily. And it's terrible. It's terrible to think about. At the age that many of them have been defiled. Are you listening to me? Oh my, when they could wait to find that one that God would give them someday, and it'd be perfect and special and the way God wanted it to be. Don't you want to, girls, the first guy you ever kissed be your husband? Listen, if you've been wallering all over some other boy, what's that going to be anything special when you kiss the guy you marry? Fellas, if you've been slobbering on girls all the time, where's the specialty of that one, that love of your life? Have some abstinence. Keep yourself pure. Amen. I want you just to remember that. The Bible wants you to keep yourself pure. Amen? Wants you to abstain from fleshly lust. And there is a lot of fleshly lust out there. Things that lead to fleshly lust. Don't do things that cause others to lust after you. Amen? And look not on the flesh to lust after it. I mean, the Bible talks about men if they look upon a woman. A lust after her. They've committed adultery already in their heart. Looking upon them. What are they looking at? Looking at what they can see. Be careful what you show. Be careful what you show.
resist temptation. He did not want to defile himself. You see, he knew that defilement that would come. If he ate the meat, drank the wine, he would be defiled. He's resisting temptation. Amen? The Bible tells us how to resist temptation. David said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Amen? Think about the times that God said, resist the devil. He tells us to resist the flesh, not to let the flesh entice, not to go toward the things of the flesh. We need to resist temptation as Christ resisted temptation, and it can be resisted. Temptation's not a sin. Submission to the temptation is a sin. The old preachers used to say it like this. You can't help if a bird lands on your head, but you can help if you let it stay there and build a nest. There's fiery darts of the wicked. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Listen, you have to be careful. And they're trying to make things that are abomination normal. You know why they're doing? They want you to yield to lesser temptation. Things that you may not even... This can't be bad. I mean, look at that. When really it is. Something is, it's still sin. It's ungodly. It's something that God doesn't want you involved in. Amen? Now, I mean, Lord have mercy. I want to help you. Listen, many of you are at that age. You're at that age. Your life can either go toward God or your life can go straight downhill. Misery. Wrong choices. Wrong appetite. Wrong choices. Amen? No temperance. No self-denial. Oh, my. So he tells them, he said in verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee. If you're going to stand, you're going to be proved. Listen, he didn't just stand against it. He had a way that he was living. He wasn't just abstaining from meat and wine and didn't have anything to support himself. Oh, no. He had something in its place. Something that God said, this is what I want in your life. It takes the place. The water and the pulse will take the place of the meat and the wine. Amen? It's not like God wanted him to abstain from something but didn't give him anything to help him resist the temptation. He had all that he needed to be proved. Him, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they all had everything that God would provide. Amen? Thank God. And then he said, then let our countenances be looked upon. Then let our countenances be looked upon. Now, when he gets on down, you see the leader in Daniel. And listen, youngins, don't just be a... I remember my daddy, one of the things... And my daddy, I love him. He's a good daddy. My daddy was a good daddy. He's lost. But I remember my daddy saying, son, you can either be a leader or a follower. And he said, you don't always have to be a leader, but you better watch who you follow.
I never forgot that. And I have been a follower many times. Many times. I have followed others in the godly way. I remember before God saved me, listen, I followed others down, down, down. Away from God. Into sin. Into the world. Into the dives. Into things I never thought. Are you listening to me? You don't know what your flesh will yield into if you're under the peer pressure to follow others. You need to have somebody saying, I care about you. Come with me. Don't go that way. Don't do like the rest of them. There's a lot of other ones besides these four. Are you listening? That was brought into the king's house. As far as I know, it was only these four that did not eat the king's meat or drink the king's wine. They weren't the only ones brought in. You can't believe that they were the only ones. We read about their stand because they stood. If there were any other ones, listen, you go on to find out here in just a moment. They're standing. They're found 10 times better. Now, apart from Daniel's leadership, Daniel goes on and interprets a dream for the king. And the king realizes what wisdom and what revelation that an interpretation that God has given to Daniel. And so the king made Daniel a great man in chapter 2, verse 48. Gave him many gifts, made him ruler over the whole province. And he asked that his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, be over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Daniel sat in the gate of the king. That's why in chapter 3, when the king made that golden image for everybody to worship, well, the king wasn't going to bow down. And Daniel was in the gate of the king, so he wasn't expected to bow down. But the other three were out there among the people. They're not with their leader. Now they have to make those choices. That Daniel had been a great admiration to them. And thank God for leadership and his prayers and his guidance. Amen. But now he's nowhere around. What are we going to do? They said, when you hear all the sounds of all kinds of music, you're to bow down. Yield. Give up all your gods, all your religion, all your belief, everything you believe, because this is the king's commandment. This is the king's decree. This is the king's God, his idols. He set this up. You better bow. The world was there. All the kinds of music in verse 7 of chapter 3. And all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. The world today. You know what they want to do right now? They've got these big organizations, and more countries of the world are attaching themselves to it, the world, the nations. Do you know that they have charged the Prime Minister of Israel with war crimes? And if they can catch him, this world council will pass judgment upon him and I guess put him in a world prison somewhere? The world, listen, you be sure, listen, it's more than just the preacher standing up here and saying, you need to forsake the world, you need to deny the world. Listen, the world wants your all. They want your obeisance. They want you to bow to their belief. They want you to bow to their way, to their system. The whole world was doing it. All that was there. But not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought word to the king, said they certain Jews. They have not regarded thee. Why? Am I saying this right? They had fidelity to their God. They was not going to bow to another God. They had already bowed to the God of heaven. They're threatened with a fiery furnace. They are threatened with their life. Now here's where the standing comes in. I mean, listen, it was hard enough to stand before, but now here they are being threatened with their life. How you live, how you believe, what you think, what you do, your actions, everything. It is going to tell the tale right now. It's going to come out. Is it meaningful? Is it real? Is your God real? Is what you believe real? Do you believe it in your heart? Do you really love God that much? Are you really on His side? Is He really on the inside? They're being threatened to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And y'all know the story. They said, why do you not serve my gods? Or worship the golden image? The king asked them. Now, if you be ready, at the time that you hear the flute and the harp and the sackbut and all the music, to bow down. But if not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. This really happened, Brother Jerry Lee. This is history. This is not a parable. It's not just a story. Daniel's real. He's a real prophet. These three Hebrew boys, they are real. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, and I love their answer. Said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. Because we don't serve our God just because He will always deliver us. Because they knew He may not. They knew many that were talked about in Hebrews 11. Many that put to flight the armies that were against Israel. Are you listening to me? I mean, they heard about the children of Israel and Moses parting the Red Sea, but they had also known godly people that perished at the hands of these wicked kings. They said, we don't serve our God just because we fear what you may do to us. And we want to, you know, we want to get out. We'll quit serving him because we want to get out. He'll get us out of this. That's why we said, no, they said, even if he doesn't, if he does not, we're not going to bow to your gods. You talk about a steadfastness. Amen? And you know the story. You know the story. Now here's what we find. We find God being the God of preservation. The God of divine presence. Amen? And the God of what? Security. Thank God for the security, the eternal security that you and I have. Well, listen, oh my, you know why Stephen could stand and be gnashed upon? Because he had eternal security. To leave here is to go to heaven. To go be with our God. God showed, but listen, God kept them. Kept them in the fire. Kept them from even smelling like the smoke in the fire. There's none like God. That's what, listen, that's the testimony that these three Hebrews left in the mouth of that king. There's no God like their God. Why? Because they stood steadfast, immovable, amen, always abounding, always following the Lord, always determined that they were not going to worship the Lord, amen, they were not going to yield to the decrees. Listen, I know there's some people believe, you know, well, we're supposed to, you know, do always those things, you know, the government asks us to do. Listen, there's some things. There are some things. It's going to get to the point, listen, that we can't do. Because it goes too far against God. When they walk in here and they start telling us what not to preach, that's when I can't do what they ask me to do. I pray for our government. Pray for our president. Pray for our nation. Pray for our people. We must find ourselves standing on the right side. Standing on the right side. Standing on God's side. Young people, listen, you can do this. Daniel did it. They were proved. Did you know that they even, in chapter 1, they found favor with man? You know, the Bible talks about finding favor with God and man. Jesus found favor with God and man. John the Baptist did too, I believe. But Jesus found favor with God and man. David talked about, man, you finding favor with man, even your enemy, when you have such a blessing of God upon your life. That it all started out because these young people said, I need some wisdom from God. I need some knowledge from God. I need some understanding from God. That's where it started. Started right there. They had a relationship with the Father. An understanding right up here. And then God was able to take that and develop them. Listen, what we put in is how we are developed. Do you know that? It's how we're developed. It's how God develops us. What we allow the Lord to do in our mind, in our spirit, even in our bodies, giving ourselves to the Lord. And it takes a lot. God wants the whole man. He doesn't just want your soul. Listen, He wants the whole man. Body, spirit, and soul. Amen. All right. Bless your heart. Thank you for being here. Come on, stand.